Okay, so the shir is dedicated for Shlema, for Ira, Bras, Bracha, Avram, David, Ben Gidol, or Fukrev, or Shlema. We're going to, and for Gidol, Bas Malka, Fukrev, or Shlema. We're going to learn about...
I'm doing my best not to multitask, but possible.
Devar Malchus? Should I get one?
No.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
We're going to... We're going to learn next part of the series of classes that we did before Pesach, about the character of Torah, about the essence of Torah. Last time, just to refresh the conversation, we were exploring the difference between the mitzvahs that were done before the giving of the Torah and the mitzvahs after giving the Torah. We brought a verse from Song of Songs, L'reach shmanecha tevim, shemen turk shmanecha. There is the fragrance and there's the oil. It says in the Talmud, all the mitzvahs that our forefathers did before you are considered like a fragrance, but our mitzvahs are considered like the oil. And the Rambam actually writes, Sim libchal ikra gadol, you should put your heart, you should pay attention with your heart to a fundamental principle that we don't do mitzvahs because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did the mitzvahs. Rather, we do the mitzvahs because Hashem gave us his mitzvahs at Mount Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. So their mitzvahs that they did are compared to a fragrance. Our mitzvahs are compared to oil. What's the difference between a fragrance or the thing itself? There's two things, two different differences. One is that if it's merely a fragrance, it's not the thing itself. It's something which is coming away, coming out of the thing. You have the, you have the object itself, which is the perfume itself, let's say, the oil itself, which has a fragrance. And so when the fragrance of it isn't the thing itself, it's just a fragrance. And number two, a fragrance eventually, it eventually wears off. Eventually the fragrance stops. Versus where you have the thing itself, oil itself, first of all, you have the essence of it. And second of all, it doesn't wear out. So practically, what are we referring to? Before the giving of the Torah versus mitzvahs we do now after the giving of the Torah. The mitzvahs that were done before the giving of the Torah were done to prepare the world to receive the Torah, but they didn't have a lasting impact on the physicality of the world. When Yaakov, for example, peeled the staffs and he was mating the sheep of Lavan, the Zohar says he accomplished the same thing that we do when we put on tefillin. But number one, the staffs didn't retain any holiness. Why didn't they retain any holiness? Because the mitzvah that he did didn't connect to the essence of Hashem. It wasn't something that unlike the mitzvahs that we do now, mitzvahs are done before the giving of the Torah, they had some holiness in them. In the action he was doing, Yaakov Avinu doing something is a holy thing, but didn't connect to the essence of godliness because Hashem hadn't yet given us these mitzvahs. And therefore, since it didn't stem from the essence of Hashem, therefore the parameters of the spiritual and the physical are that they can't connect to each other.
So, it's so much connected that even not doing anything, i.e. not going having a cheeseburger, or whatever the case may be, is a mitzvah also.
Oh, right.
So even doing nothing could also draw
down holiness. Right. So before giving the Torah, since the mitzvahs didn't, Hashem didn't give the mitzvahs yet, so when Hashem gives us a mitzvah, so the mitzvah comes from the essence of Hashem. The essence of Hashem is beyond all the parameters of the spiritual and the physical. Therefore, a mitzvah today connects the spiritual and the physical, and the physical object you're doing the mitzvah with, or the thing that you're abstaining from, or even more, even the thing that you're doing for the sake of Hashem. It's not a mitzvah yet. You're building a sukkah. I mean, building a sukkah is not a good example because building a sukkah actually is part of the mitzvah, just not the end of the mitzvah. But you're driving to shul. That's just a preparation for the mitzvah. That in that action, there's also some holiness there because it's for the sake of a mitzvah. But because a mitzvah comes from the essence of Hashem, therefore it's possible for the kedusha, the holiness in the mitzvah to impact the physical reality of the world, because Hashem has no boundaries, Hashem has no limitations. So while the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah were spiritual, their spirituality didn't come into the physicality of the world.
I missed something. How is Hashem's infinite connected to the
physical reality?
Yeah. I mean, I understand how it connects, but how it connects to what you're talking about.
When a mitzvah is only done because of Yaakov Avinu decides to do a mitzvah, so there's not because Hashem commanded him to do the mitzvah. So when a mitzvah is just done because he decided to, but not because there's a commandment, so the spiritual energy is only ha'arat, which only a ray of galim. It's only a little bit of kedusha, not the essence of Hashem. Since it's not the essence of Hashem, so therefore it can't traverse the gap between the spiritual and the physical and stay here, because in order to traverse this gap between the spiritual and the physical, there has to be an infinite power that causes the parameters of spiritual and the physical to shed.
It's got to have some essence of Hashem. Otherwise, why did he do that?
That's our question for today. That's we're going to today. What's the purpose of why they did the mitzvah? What's the purpose of what they did in the first place? Why did they do mitzvahs in the first place? Okay. But we'll get to that in a second. But let's first understand what the parameters are. What the classification is of mitzvahs that they did versus the mitzvahs we do. The mitzvahs they did are called fragrances. The mitzvahs we do are called eating and drinking. So in a fragrance, again, there's these two.
I don't know.
There's these two deficiencies. Number one, it's not the thing itself. Number two, the fragrance evaporates; it goes away. Similarly, the mitzvahs that Avraham and Yaakov did, the kedusha, the holiness, wasn't retained the physical object. Why not? Because it didn't come from the essence of Hashem. Therefore, it couldn't possibly traverse the gap of the spiritual and the physical and stay in the physical. Versus the mitzvahs that we do, they come from the essence of Hashem. Mamish, the essence of Hashem is in the. It commands us and connects with us. We put on tefillin, and therefore the holiness in the action of putting on tefillin, that is, it stays in the physical object of the physical tefillin, because it comes from the essence of Hashem Mamash. There are no parameters, there are no borders that are significant if you can compare in the face of the essence of Hashem. And therefore, when a mitzvah is done that connects to the essence of Hashem, that mitzvah, that holiness, goes into the physical object of the tefillin, and it stays in the tefillin forever. The question is this. The Rambam, after he says, Simli b'chalekar ha'godol, he says, don't think we do the mitzvahs because of Avram the mitzvahs. We do the mitzvahs because Moshe Ben told us to do the mitzvahs. Then the Rambam adds a line, though. And therefore, we do the mitzvahs because Moshe commanded us, we have a bris milah like Moshe commanded us, as Avram Avinu did. He adds a line again, like Avram Avinu did. Why does he add like Avraham Avinu did? If we wanted to say that our mitzvahs are better, our mitzvahs are not just a fragrance. Our mitzvahs like the oil itself. Our mitzvahs are far greater. Why does Ram add? And therefore we do these mitzvahs like Avraham Avinu. It seems like there is an advantage, and there is an advantage. The advantage of the is their mitzvahs is also connected to the word fragrance. A fragrance is used to revive someone when they faint. As we'll see, there's something about their mitzvahs that surpass our mitzvahs, and that's why their mitzvahs were necessary. But in order to understand this, let's first analyze a little bit more about the actual performance of the mitzvahs at Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We just said before that Yaakov peeled staffs, and when he peeled those staffs, it was as if he put on tefillin. Avraham Avinu, what about him? How did Avraham put on tefillin? It says in the Talmud that all of our forefathers, they kept the mitzvahs before the mitzvahs were given. That means that Avraham Avinu must have put on tefillin, and Yitzchak must have put on tefillin. And yet we don't find that Avraham peeled staffs, or Yitzchak peeling staffs. It must be. And we can't say they put on physical tefillin, because in the tefillin itself, it talks about the Exodus, and the Exodus hadn't happened yet. So it's not that Avraham Avinu put on physical tefillin. So what did he do? He must have done something else that for him that was putting on tefillin. And the question is, we don't put on tefillin in different ways. Everyone puts on the same pair of tefillin. Everyone puts on the same exact tefillin that everyone else does. No one has a different style of putting on tefillin. Why did Avraham Avinu have his style of putting on tefillin? Yitzchak have his style of putting on tefillin. Yaakov have his style of putting on tefillin. Whereas now, everyone puts on tefillin in exactly the same way. Why? If they had differences, why don't we? Now, they didn't need, it seems, to do any physical actions at all. As Yossi was asking before, we have the value of physical action because... What? Oh. We have the advantage of doing physical actions in our mitzvahs because our mitzvahs impact the physical world. Hashem wants a home in the lowest realm, and our mitzvahs draw the essence of Hashem into the physical reality. Our mitzvahs are important to be done physically. But why did Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov have to put on a physical pair of tefillin? What was the point of them putting on a physical pair of tefillin? If all they did was really just connect to a spiritual light of Hashem, not the essence of Hashem, but some spiritual light of Hashem, a ray of godliness, like the fragrance, which is not the essence of the oil, but something that comes out of the oil, if all they connected was a ray of godliness and it couldn't impact the physical, then why they do a physical mitzvah? Why was it important for Avraham and Yaakov to do something that mirrored the performance of putting on film? So the answer is this. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are called Merkava. They're called a chariot to Hashem's will. There are two ways of understanding the meaning of chariot. Chariot is subservient to the will of the rider. But what is a chariot? One way of understanding a chariot is the horses. The horses are a chariot to the rider. Another way of understanding the word chariot, Merkava, is not, that the word chariot is not referring to the horses, it's referring to the wagon itself. But be as it may, even if you say it's referring to the horses are still functioning according to wherever the rider is whipping them to go. And certainly if you say that the analogy of the chariot is referring to the wagon itself, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were completely subservient to the will of Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe adds in chapter 34 in Tanya, even their physical limbs of their body, they were holy and separate from this world, and they never stopped fulfilling the will of Hashem. They were makava l'ratzon ha'elyon kol yomeihem. Every moment of their lives, they were a chariot for Hashem's will. So that's why they did physical actions, because when they had the thought about the mitzvah tefillin, when they were thinking about the meaning of mitzvah tefillin, it affected their physical body as well. Let's talk about ourselves for a second. We'll get back to our forefathers. We'll understand a little bit more about them. Where we're going is because they were there spiritually, it automatically affected their body. So that's something that we could see in ourselves as well. It says in the Talmud, the wisdom of a person illuminates their face. You could see in someone's face their wisdom. It says, you know, we don't need the verses to know. When someone's sad, you could see it in their face. When someone's happy, you could see it in their face. So the animal soul, our humanness, our human side, our human soul, affects our physical body. Our joy in our humanness, in our physical body, in our animal soul affects our physical body. We're happy, we smile. We're sad, we frown. We get very happy, we dance. It's a result of how we feel, our soul feels, our animal soul feels. That's what causes a reaction in our body. But by every person, the soul and the body are connected to each other, the animal soul. But by our forefathers, by our Avraham and Yaakov, it wasn't just their animal soul that affected their physical body, it was their godly soul. Their godly soul's feelings affected their physical body. They were so devoted to Hashem that when they had the intent of putting on tefillin, it wasn't just something that merely was just in their intellect and their emotions. It was something that permeated them through and through until their actual bodies were part of this intent that they had to do. They wanted to connect to the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. That's something that completely captured their totality of who they were, soul and body, spiritual and physical, and therefore they also did something physical. So the reason they put on tefillin was because, or the reason why Avraham Avinu peeled the staffs was because he was completely immersed in the spiritual intent of tefillin. His goal wasn't to peel the staffs. His goal was to connect to the spirituality of the tefillin. And Yaakov. And as a result of him being immersed in the spirituality of the tefillin, that's why he also peeled the staffs. That's how it was for Yaakov peeling the staffs. And that's what every story that we read in the Torah about Avraham and Yaakov, of course it happened physically as well, but that's not really the point of the story. Their whole existence was a chariot to the will of Hashem. And all they were doing physically in this world, when Avram was talking to Avi Melech, when Yitzchak was digging wells, all of that was an expression of their total devotion to Hashem's will. And that had a physical expression in their lives and what they did physically. But it wasn't about the physical actions that they were doing. It was about that was just a symptom of where they were spiritually. There was a spiritual focus, and there were physical consequences from their spiritual focus. But that wasn't their goal. So because Avraham and Yaakov were devoted to Hashem in different ways, Avraham was a chariot to God's kindness. Yitzchak was a chariot to Hashem's judgment. And Yaakov was a chariot to Hashem's, the way Hashem contracted his light to be called beauty. Because they were different, their souls were different, their devotion to Hashem, they were all devoted to Hashem, but they're all devoted to different expressions of godliness. There's a way Hashem judges the world, there's a way Hashem gives kindness to the world. So because they were devoted to the way Hashem's light is channeled and filtered in a certain way, therefore they all put on tefillin in different ways, depending on who they were. Avraham Avinu certainly did to put on tefillin in his way, not the way Yaakov did, because he wasn't Yaakov. And Yitzchak put on his way, because he wasn't Yaakov either. They all put on tefillin according to their spiritual makeup. So this gives us some insight also into why their physical performance of mitzvahs was pertinent for them, but they all did it differently. But our mitzvahs are all done in the same way. Our mitzvahs aren't done differently for each person. We do all mitzvahs in the very same way. Why is that? But the reason our mitzvahs are done differently, and our mitzvahs are done in a physical way, is because the trajectory and the goal of our mitzvahs is about impacting the physical world. And since we want to impact the physical world, the only way we can impact the physical world is by connecting to the essence of Hashem. And to connect the essence of Hashem, you have to put on tefillin the way He tells you to put on tefillin. So we specifically are all putting on tefillin the same way. Why? Because we're trying to do the will of Hashem. And when we do the will of Hashem, what happens is that there is a godly light, or something that comes from the essence of Hashem, that is transferred in the physical reality through the performance of tefillin. So if I were to put on tefillin how I felt like putting on tefillin, so then it wouldn't do anything. There is an element of what our forefathers did that surpasses what we did. There's something about the fragrance of what they did that's greater than what we do. That we'll give to the next class, we'll talk about that. But for right now, let's understand this. The advantage of our performance of mitzvahs is that we are trying to connect the essence of Hashem and thereby the physical reality. And therefore, although there is some spiritual content in our tefillin too, when we put on tefillin, we have intent, as it says in the Siddur, to dedicate our heart and our feelings and our thoughts to Hashem, and we think about the miracles of Hashem we put on tefillin. That's all true. But in addition to the spiritual element of tefillin, the main impact of the mitzvah of tefillin is that it draws the essence of Hashem to the physical reality. And therefore, to draw the essence of Hashem has to be done the way Hashem said to put on tefillin. So, let's say it this way. When you are happy, you smile. It's not that you position your cheeks in a certain way to be happy. It's the opposite. It's that you because you're happy, your cheeks naturally are positioned in a certain way. It's not that you smile. Well, Reba's not going to like that, because when he's talking, you have to smile in order to be happy. That's true too. But the goal is the feelings. The goal is that you want to feel a certain way. Let's say it that way. The goal, there is a feeling, and the feeling has a physical expression. It's possible that conversely, that a physical expression could cause it to be happy, the Tzemach Tzedek writes. Tzemach Tzedek writes, yeah. But the goal is the feeling. It's not the actual smile. The goal is the feeling. It's also not 100% true. As the Gemara says, when you smile at someone, it's B'tev, what's the Roshan HaPasuk? Yaakov giving the brachas. Yaakov said, Leven Shnai Mecholov. Yaakov said, the teeth are better than milk. It's better to give a person your teeth than to give them a glass of milk. The Gemara says, when you smile at someone, so it affects them. You're giving them something. Better than,
it comes back at you too.
It comes back at you too, 100%.
Usually if you smile to someone, he smiles at you, then you smile to him.
Baruch Hashem.
More real ways.
Absolutely.
So, after seduction.
Absolutely. It's all true. However, the goal is, we're talking about feelings, and we're talking about physical things we're doing to get to the feelings. The goal is the feelings still. So, Avraham and Yaakov, their performance of mitzvahs were all spiritual feelings. That's what it was. And there was also some kind of physical reality. Huh?
Where did they get, where did Yaakov and why did he get the idea that killing the branches has anything to do with film or whatever mitzvah he was having in mind? And where and how did that come together?
In order to answer that question, you have to know what film really are, and what the staffs really are, and why, who Yaakov really was, and why. This community wanted to fire their rabbi in the 50s because the rabbi refused to speak on a microphone. So they wrote to the rabbi, you know, we know it's really okay to use a microphone on Shabbos, and therefore we want you to tell our rabbi that he can use a microphone because it's otherwise we're going to demote him from his position. So the rabbi said, in order to answer this question, you have to know how electricity works. You have to know how halacha works. And then, you know, those two, you can decide if a microphone is kosher on Shabbos or not. The Rebbe said, you don't know halach, and you don't know electricity, and you're saying the microphone is okay on Shabbos. The Rebbe said, I know electricity, and I know halach. And I can tell you it's not only rabbinically a problem, it's also a biblical issue as well. So in order to know what the spiritual meaning of Yaakov's putting on tefillin is, I would have to know a lot that I don't know. I don't know what Yaakov was. I know he's called Teferis. I don't know what Pingu staffs are. I know it's something spiritual. I don't know what film are. No, it's something to do with dedicating your heart and mind to Hashem. I have to know all those, and I have to know all those things to answer that question, draw that line. But let's say it this way. There's something about what he did when he put on film that's connected to Teferis, connected to that divine energy of Teferis, and that specific. But it wasn't like he thought of, let me do a trick. It was more like he was totally devoted to the spiritual energy of tefillin, and therefore automatically that went directly to peeling the steps.
You must have some inspiration to do that.
Yes.
Spiritual inspiration.
Right. Right.
Greater than the staff.
Right. It wasn't about the staff. It wasn't about the staff. Before giving the Torah, the goal wasn't the staff. The goal was the spiritual place he got to, and because he went there completely, he also peeled the staff. It wasn't about the staff. It wasn't about what he did physically. That was just a result of him being totally immersed in where he was spiritually. Avin who spoke to Avimelech, that was also a spiritual experience that had a physical effect of him talking to Avimelech. He was devoted to the will of Hashem, and there was a physical effect of his devotion to Hashem in his conversation with Avimelech. Avin was a spiritual person who was devoted to the will of Hashem, and that is a physical expression. But let's talk about us for a second. If we were to have all of the spiritual intent of putting on film, we say a bracha on putting on film. We think about the meaning of film, and we really got immersed into it. And the way we really knew what it was, we really knew exactly what film was, fully according to the way that Arizal. Let's say that Arizal think about film. There's no bracha you could say. Oh, let's say conversely. Let's say you put on film already, and. You say a bracha and you put on film. There's no additional bracha for having the kavana. You didn't have any kavana. Now you won't have the kavana. There's no additional bracha for the kavana. You can't say a bracha if you just put on film. There's a mitzvah. Why? Because the goal of the film is to fulfill the will of Hashem and thereby make the world a home for Hashem. And therefore, there has to be a physical mitzvah, because the physical mitzvah itself, which is in sync with the desire of Hashem, and transfers and causes the essence of Hashem to be revealed in the physical world.
There's got
to
be some of it also in Yaakov's case. Otherwise, why did you use it? You could have a whole spiritual thing and forget it.
So Yaakov, what we're saying is that Yaakov, because he was so immersed in this, let's say this for Yaakov, yes. When we daven, right? When we daven, there's an idea that the Gemara says about saying the words out loud. You could say them, you could whisper them, you could say them out loud. Why would you say them out loud? The Gemara says, because Kol Mer Kavan, when you say it out loud, it helps you concentrate. So for Yaakov Avinu, since there's no point of affecting the physical reality, the point of him peeling the staff is analogous to us saying the words in a louder way. We're saying them louder to help us concentrate. In order for him to be in the zone where we need to be spiritually, he had to peel the staffs. The goal was, let me do something physical to help me be in a more spiritual mood. I want to say the words of diving out loud so I could feel them more. But there's something else in saying the words of davening now, after giving the Torah, that have an intrinsic value, because Hashem wants a home in the physical world, and therefore they have to actually say the words of Davin. So, is there an advantage of their mitzvahs? Yes. There is something about their spiritual devotion to Hashem that surpasses what we can do in our mitzvahs. That's why they're called a fragrance. When a person faints, you give them a fragrance to revive them. There's something about them. We'll see in the next class what that is. Then that's why the Rambam adds, we do the mitzvahs only because Moshe Rabbeinu told us to do, like Avraham Avinu. He adds words like Avraham Avinu because there's something about Avraham Avinu's mitzvahs that surpass our mitzvahs. And that's what we want. The Rambam emphasizes that our mitzvahs also have the same content of a fragrance. Although they're called eating and drinking, our mitzvahs have a advantage over the mitzvahs that our forefathers did. They nevertheless also have the quality that Avraham Avinu did in his mitzvahs as well. There's something about the fragrance element in mitzvahs that stays and is present in our mitzvahs as well, as Mr. Shemuel will see next time. Any questions or comments?
So, yeah. Just that the Tanya, we just learned that the light that you bring down by a mitzvah doesn't even compare. When you have kavana, you bring down tons more light.
Oh.
So they had kavana maybe.
Oh.
I don't know.
No, good. So there is something Alter was talking about. There is the essence of Hashem in the mitzvah, and there is the revelation of Hashem in the mitzvah. The kavana we have causes revelation.
Oh.
That's so. It's not. It's when we say the word light. Light's specific. The mitzvah itself connects the essence of Hashem just because of physical reality, the physical action of the mitzvah. The kavana, the love you have for Hashem, we do the mitzvah. That causes a Alter says there's a revelation of godliness in the mitzvah through the love that you have. Okay. That's Dr. Ressman. All right. Chazaka Baruch. Mr. Shem, well, yes, it's connected. We're going to get to next week. Next time, Mr. Shem. Mishkech.